Song of Solomon, chapter 2, and verse 15 is our text for this morning. Take us the foxes, the little foxes, that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. The picture that is given to us here in the second chapter of the Song of Solomon is that of a garden in the springtime. We gather that from the verse 11, for the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds has come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. Now, upon entering this garden, we see immediately that it is a most beautiful garden. Everywhere we turn and look in this garden, flowers in all their beauty can be seen. We've just read there the words of verse 12. There are roses, there are lilies, and there are apple blossoms also. And in this garden can be heard the singing of the birds. Prominent among them is the turtle dove, verse 12. We may look again and notice that this garden is not only a beautiful garden, it is a bountiful garden. The garden is like the ground of a certain rich man which brought forth plentifully. The garden is like that good ground the Lord spoke about. When the seed was sown, it brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. This garden of which Solomon spoke certainly was a place of fruitfulness. There were apple trees, there were vines producing grapes, and there were fig trees also, verses 3 and verse 13. Indeed, entering this fruitful garden would be like entering into a banqueting house. So plentiful was the fruit, as is described in verse 4. To add to the joy and pleasure of being in this beautiful and bountiful garden, it was a most blissful garden as well. This is a garden where visitors might want to sit down and rest. We read in verse 7, I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love, until he please. So the garden was a most restful, peaceful, and blissful place. Just to sit there and smell the fragrance of the flowers, and taste the pleasant fruits, and enjoy the beauty of God's handiwork would be a most blissful experience indeed. But then entering this beautiful place, we would soon come to realize that we're not alone in this garden. Two others are there, walking hand in hand along the pathway and beside the still waters. We recognize them. One is called the Beloved. And the person that he walks hand in hand with is one that he calls by a variety of names. You have the Beloved and his love, his sister, his spouse, his undefiled, his dove. These two individuals, the Beloved and his bride, are pictured for us here as the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Beloved. And his bride, being the church, or being the Christian. But there is something amiss in this garden amidst all the beauty and the blissfulness. There's something amiss. And it is highlighted for us there in the words of our text. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. And so there were little foxes threatening to spoil the overall appearance and fruitfulness of this garden that we read about in this chapter. This garden belongs to the bridegroom and his bride. In chapter 4, in verse 12, a garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. And in verse 16 of chapter 4, awake, O north wind, come thou south, and blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden. And so the bride calls it her garden, or my garden, and then she says to her beloved, let my beloved come into his garden. So you can see the garden is the possession of the bride and her beloved. Just like the heart of the Christian. The heart of the Christian, or the soul of the Christian, is likened unto a garden. In Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 12 we read, and their soul shall be as a watered garden. And so the soul of the Christian here in Jeremiah 31 is likened unto a watered garden. Evidently this garden in the Song of Solomon was well watered, producing the flowers and the fruit trees and the vines. But the little foxes are threatening. They're threatening to destroy the garden. The little foxes of sin can find their way into the garden, the heart of the soul of the Christian. And the little foxes of sin can spoil the peace, the tranquility, and the fruitfulness of the soul and of the Christian's heart. Being aware of this threat, we ought to pray then each day, take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines of tender grapes. We need to pray each day that the Lord will keep the little foxes of sin from entering into our well-watered garden, the garden of our soul, the garden of our hearts, and threatening to destroy the fruitfulness of our souls. That'll be our theme today. And I want first of all to consider in these words the request. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines for our vines of tender grapes. There's the request. And looking at these words, take us the foxes, I discover that the original Hebrew reads slightly differently. Where we have here in our authorized version, take us the foxes, the original Hebrew reads, take for us the foxes. Take for us the foxes that spoil the vine, the little foxes. And so it is a request that it is made to the Lord, take for us the little foxes that spoil the vine. That's what we need to pray. Lord, take for us the little foxes of sin that spoil the vines. As far as this request is concerned, it's a request for prevention. The little foxes were threatening to damage the vines in the garden. Even though they were only little foxes. Yet they would cause much damage. And so they needed to be prevented from doing and causing that damage. Rather like the little foxes of sin that threaten the spiritual fruitfulness of a Christian. Therefore, our request ought to be, Lord, take for us the little foxes that spoil the vines. We know that prevention, of course, is better than cure. The psalmist certainly believed that, for in Psalm 19, verse 13, we find these words. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. It's talking about prevention. Keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Prevention. Keep me back from presumptuous sins. Keep me back from those sins that I commit and I don't even think about them. They're like the little foxes. They're only little sins. They can't do me any harm. They can't really cause that much damage. But the psalmist didn't believe that. The psalmist wanted to be prevented from engaging in presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Wouldn't be too long before the little foxes would overrun the whole garden. So the little foxes needed to be dealt with. Not only does these words refer to a prevention, they are also a words of a prayer. This is a prayer expressing a desire to take for us the foxes, little foxes that spoil the vine. Now we're talking here about the bride and her beloved. We're speaking about Christ and the Christian. And you'll notice the words then of the text. Take for us. Solomon, who penned these words, didn't write here, take for me. But take for us, for the beloved and his bride unitedly. Both the beloved and the bride wanted the foxes to be taken away. They were in agreement. That's the point. The beloved was in agreement with his bride. And of course, if we want prayer to be answered, we must be in agreement with the Lord. Our prayers must be in agreement with the Lord's will. If you ask anything according to my will, the Lord says, I will do it. Must be in accordance with the Lord's will. As James has informed us in James 4 verse 3, ye ask and ye receive not, because ye ask amiss. You miss the Lord's will. You're not praying in accordance with the will of God. And so when we ask for those little foxes to be removed, those little foxes of sin to be taken away, we are, of course, praying in agreement with the Lord. The Lord would be in agreement with us when we pray that the little foxes of sin would be taken away. When we deal with sin in our hearts, we please the Lord. When we pray for sin to be dealt with in our hearts, the Lord is pleased. He's in agreement with us. It is certainly, of course, not the will of the Lord that we harbor sin in our hearts. letting the little foxes take over the garden of our souls. They who had sinned against the holy God were not permitted to linger in the garden. That beautiful garden known as Eden. The Lord did not permit our first parents to stay any longer in the garden. They were driven out. They were driven out of that place of bliss and blessedness. Once they took of the forbidden fruit, fell into sin, and brought the whole human race down with them. So as God did not permit sin to linger in the Garden of Eden, then we ought not to permit sin to linger in our hearts. Those little foxes. Those little sins that we think will do us no harm. Those little sins that we often overlook. You recall the words in 2 Peter 2 and verse 4. God spared not the angels that sinned. Spared them not. But cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto the judgment. When you think of it, the angels were given no opportunity to repent. God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell. You think of the mercy of the Lord that extends to us, to sinners even here today. God has spared you and given you an opportunity to repent. How many opportunities has He given? Countless number of opportunities. Yet He spared not the angels that sinned. Spared them not. But cast them down to hell. To be reserved in chains until the day of judgment. And all who know not the Savior ought to think upon that. The angels were not spared. But you have been. And given many opportunities to repent of your sin and receive Christ. And He showed no mercy to the sinning angels, neither should we show any mercy to the little foxes of sin. So let our prayer always be, Lord, take for us the little foxes that spoil the vine. Something here in these words that is very particular. The words expressing this desire are quite specific. Take for us the foxes, the little foxes. That's where the focus here is in this prayer and then expressed in this desire. It was the little foxes that evidently posed the greatest threat to the fruitfulness of the garden. The little foxes posed the greatest threat. Those little creatures. Neither the bride nor her beloved regarded the little foxes as being of no consequence. We may look upon little things in life as not posing any great threat to us. Termites. Termites are very small little creatures. You say, oh, they don't pose any threat to the house. You let them burn away there and eat away at the woodwork in the house, and you'll soon know it in a number of years. Do a lot of damage. Termites. Little foxes. Little sins. Which we may judge as being of no real consequence. Will not do us any harm. But the Word of God here shows us that the little foxes pose the greatest threat. And the little foxes of sin, those things that we regard as harmless, can pose the greatest threat to our fruitfulness as Christians. David learned that bitter lesson. In 2 Samuel 11, we read there about Samuel, and we are told that Samuel stayed at home at a time when kings went forth to battle. Now think of it. David's the king of Israel. As a king, he supposed he could more or less do what he wanted. And on a day when kings went forth to battle, David decided to stay at home. Seems harmless enough, doesn't it? What harm was there in David staying at home? Yes, it may have been the tradition that kings went forth to battle when there was a battle on. But David had been in many a battle. What harm was there in staying at home? That was David's little fox. Because it was while he was at home that time, when he should have gone to war, that he fell into sin with Bathsheba. The little fox spoiled the vine. Seemed harmless enough at the time. But David will always be remembered for the day that he fell into gross sin with Bathsheba. And dear Christian, the little foxes of sin pose for us the greatest threat. If we allow those little foxes of sin to remain in the garden of our souls, they will destroy our fruitfulness for the Lord. They'll destroy our joy, the joy of our salvation. They'll destroy our happiness in the Lord. It'll not be the same anymore. And so we need to pray earnestly. Lord, take for us the little foxes that spoil the vine. So there is here the request, and then there is the ruin. The danger came from the little foxes, for they would spoil the vine. The word spoil means to destroy. To destroy. To injure or to hurt. So the little foxes were threatening to destroy the vines of this garden. Just as little foxes of sin will destroy a Christian's witness and testimony. It will harm that Christian, injure that Christian's testimony before the world. And no Christian is going to be very effective for the Lord if the little foxes of sin are permitted to stay in the garden of his soul. Notice here the focus. Our text reads, take us or take for us the foxes, the little foxes. That's where the focus is. The focus is upon the little foxes. Now in Bible times, and I suppose still the same today, in Bible lands, there is a great threat to vineyards and gardens by wild animals, not little foxes. Indeed, the psalmist tells us that, Psalm 80 and verse 13, the boar out of the wood doth waste it, that is the garden, and the wild beast of the field doth devour it. And I suppose the husbandman is more alert, more prepared for the boar out of the wood and for the beast from the field. And so he's well prepared for those larger animals. Doesn't want them to destroy his garden or his vineyard, but the little foxes. Little foxes, what threat do they pose? When you think of these little foxes, I don't know about you, but I think a little fox is an attractive creature. When I was living with my parents and brothers at home, quite a number of years ago now, my father would rear pheasants and different birds. They always had to be on the watch out for foxes. And a couple of times the foxes would get into the pens where the birds were and kill quite a few of them. And so he would go out with a number of other men out into the woods and find where the foxes' dens were and dig out the foxes. And I remember him digging into this particular den, and there was a litter of little foxes. And I kept one of them. Tried to tame it and make it domesticated. It was an attractive little fox, just like a little puppy. And I was glad that I tried to tame it. I had it for a number of months, and it was just beginning to change its colour from that grey colour into that nice red colour. It was beginning to get the white tip on the end of its tail. It got out of the cage one day and went over to the dog kennels, and went. The dogs made mincemeat of my little fox. They killed it. And I was a very sad, cast down boy. But the point is, they were attractive. You wanted to have them as pets. It was a bit like sin. It's like the little foxes of sin. They're attractive. That's what the devil does. He makes sin attractive. So we're naturally drawn to sin and to the little foxes of sin. And we need to be careful. We need to be very diligent. Because those little sins, those attractive sins, can get into the garden of our soul and cause much harm and damage. You think of the little foxes and their attractiveness. You think of the little foxes and their ability. Foxes are known for their cunning craftiness. Talk about someone being cunning as a fox or crafty as a fox. Was that not why the Lord, when he was told that Herod was planning to kill him, was that not why the Lord said, "Go ye and tell that fox, Behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. Go and tell that old fox Herod, however he threatens me, whatever he says about me, I will continue to cast out devils and to cure the sick up until I am crucified. Ezekiel, the prophet in Ezekiel 13, he describes the false prophets as foxes. For we read in Ezekiel 13, verse 3, thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit, not the spirit of God, they follow their own spirit, and have seen nothing. O Israel, thy prophets are like the foxes of the desert, cunning and crafty, doing the devil's work, these false prophets. And so the Savior regarded Herod, and the prophet Ezekiel regarded the false prophets as cunning as foxes. Little sins seem to have a way of cunningly and craftily finding their way into our hearts. Isn't that right? Seem to get into our hearts. Oh, we're watching out for the big sins, if you want to put it that way. But the little foxes, the little sins, can creep in almost unawares. Consider the activity of these little foxes. Reading up on foxes, I discovered a few things about their habits and their activity. They can spoil the vines by breaking the branches, eating the leaves, digging holes around the roots of the vines, and therefore destroying the vines altogether, as well as eating the fruit. So you can see with habits like that, it wouldn't be long destroying a vineyard. No wonder the prayer went up, take for us little foxes that spoil the vine, for our vines have tender grapes. Dear Christian, little sins can and will spoil a Christian's joy, disturb a Christian's peace, gnaw away at a Christian's zeal until he becomes just like other men. Little sins that enter the heart will not reside there without causing harm. Cannot be. Little foxes of sin get into the heart, they'll cause harm. Let us pray then, Lord, take for us the little foxes that spoil the vine, as well as the foxes being the focus. We notice also here that the fruit is mentioned as well. Little foxes also love to eat the fruit of the vine. Take for us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vine, for our vines have tender grapes. It's interesting, isn't it? That what we have here, what is highlighted in these words, is that the foxes will focus on the fruit of the vine. Little foxes will destroy the fruit. That's what they go for. And little sins will destroy the fruit of a Christian. Didn't the Lord tell us in John 15, verse 8, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit." Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be his, or my disciples. Notice, much fruit. That's what is expected of us by the Lord. But the little foxes will put an end to that. Little foxes of sin will destroy the fruit of a Christian. And instead of glorifying the Father by being fruitful Christians, we will instead be dry, barren vines for the Lord. That doesn't glorify God. Colossians 1 verse 10. Paul says that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. That's spiritual fruit. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Believer, how fruitful are we today? How much has our knowledge of God increased? The little foxes will put an end to that. There's also here the thought of fellowship. The bride and her beloved had been enjoying a time of communion and fellowship in the garden together. That is, until the little foxes appeared and that communion and fellowship was disturbed. We've been reading up until verse 15 about the blessedness that has been enjoyed by the bride in that garden along with her beloved. Just like the blessing of fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you and I know that sin will mar our fellowship with God. How can we have fellowship with the Lord? How can we be in communion with God if we're in sin and we allow sin to reside in our hearts? The fellowship surely will be broken. The communion will be destroyed. For can two walk together except they be agreed? And we're not in agreement with the Lord if we permit the little foxes of sin to reside in the garden of our souls. There needs then to be a confessing of sin. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and then the fellowship and communion will be restored. But the little foxes of sin must be dealt with. They can only be dealt with through the blood of Christ. And now in the last place, we have the reason. The reason for this request: take for us the little foxes that spoil the vine. There's the reason. Little foxes are spoilers. Both the beloved and his bride claim joint ownership of the vines and their fruit. Likewise, any spiritual fruit that may be produced in our souls was not produced by ourselves alone. produced by the Lord, by the Spirit of God, working in our hearts, working in our souls, producing the fruit that the Lord looks for, and the fruit that glorifies the Father. In John 15, I read, "And I am the true vine, the Lord said, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing." See? It's the Lord producing the fruit in us. It's not us producing the fruit, it's the Lord working in us. It's as where it's a joint endeavor. But it's the fruit that the little foxes of sin are after. It's the fruit, the spiritual fruit of the Christian, that the little foxes of sin will destroy. Believer, we don't want to be dry, barren Christians. Surely we don't. We don't want to be like that fig tree where the Lord came upon expecting to find fruit and he found nothing but leaves. What an awful shame it will be for us if we stand before God empty-handed and nothing to present to him as a result of all our years as a Christian. What an awful shame to have a heart that should be flourishing and fruitful for the Lord, stabbed because of the little foxes of sin that has become a barren wilderness. What a shame if we do not guard against the little foxes of sin. For the little foxes of sin will spoil the vine, spoil the fruit. We notice the prevention. It is obvious that the little foxes had been dealt with, because I read over in chapter 7 of the Song of Solomon, verse 10. There we read, "I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. Come, my beloved, let us go forth into the field. Let us lodge in the villages. Let us get up early in the morning to the vineyard. Let us see if the vine flourish, whether the tender grape appear, and the pomegranate bud forth. There will I give thee my love." Little foxes obviously had been dealt with. Now the bride and her beloved enter into the garden again, and they're looking forward to seeing the fruit of the vine. You see, Christian, it's only when the little foxes are dealt with that we can enjoy full fellowship and communion with the Lord. Remember, he's our beloved. I am my beloved's, and he is mine. We don't want to enter into the Lord's presence having lived a barren life. We want to be fruitful Christians. I love the words of that hymn. "By and by, when I look on his face, Beautiful face, thorn-shadowed face. By and by, when I look on his face, I'll wish I had given him more. I'll wish I had given him more. More, so much more. More of my love than I e'er gave before. By and by, when I look on his face, I'll wish I had given him more. I believe that's how every Christian will feel when they first set their eyes on Christ in glory. To see the nail prints in the hands and in his feet and the mark of the sword in his side, and they look upon that face. Surely we'll all wish we had given him more. Believer, let's not allow the little foxes of sin to destroy our fruitfulness for God. So let us make it our prayer. Take for us the foxes that spoil the vine, the little foxes, those little sins can cause so much damage. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O Lord, our God and loving Father, we bless Thee for the Word. Thank Thee, Lord, for the word of warning, the word of caution. Lord, have us to be watchful, to be diligent, and not allow the little foxes of sin to spoil our testimony, to spoil our fruitfulness, our zeal and our love for the Lord. Lord, write Thy word upon our hearts today. And we ask Thee, our God, that what we have heard by Thy grace, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, will apply Thy word to our hearts. Lord, be with us now as we part the one from the other. May Thy hand be upon us today for good. May it be a blessed Lord's day for each one. And in Thy will, Lord, return us to Thy house this evening to learn more about our own beloved. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now, and until the day breaks and the shadows flee away. Amen.